we would be done with the dreaded blue screens and any memory, unless you were an airline traveler, any memory of the CrowdStrike / Microsoft global IT disaster that happened late Thursday into Friday. Actually, I have a friend who works, well, she's in the same genre, shall we say. That makes it sound like it's a movie or a TV industry. She's in the same industry as the head of CrowdStrike. And she was in the same place where he was supposed to be on Friday. As it turns out, he had some other things going on. But it was a failed update that had a ripple effect with Microsoft and customers who had both. I actually was really proud of myself because my brother is in cybersecurity. That's his area of expertise, and he had no idea. I sent him a text even before he had logged on, even before he had looked at his phone, even before he had had coffee. So he got my text and right away runs downstairs to check his work computers and sends me back, "They're fried." So he was felled as well, but had an update by later in the day, or instructions, I guess, on how to kind of get around the failed update. But yeah, there were a lot of people that were impacted, millions of people. And so I thought, though, that by the time everything was cleared up, I would get back to work and we would be none the wiser. Except the blue screen is still to my left, and it still has that same exact screen and the message that it did when I was here last Thursday night into Friday morning. So if you haven't checked out my social, you can find it online at A-Law Radio. It's got the same message, and I keep pressing the tab for restart my PC, and I've done it, I don't know, half dozen times since I've been here, going back to the start of the show, and still, it keeps circling back to the dreaded blue screen. So this one has not, maybe no one realized it, maybe the engineers didn't know, so Ryan, we might need to let them know that this computer also needs to be fixed individually. So yeah, every single machine that was, I don't want to say infected because that makes it sound like a virus, that it was impacted or that had the issues has to be individually fixed. You have to go into safe mode and then redo part of the update or remove part of the update. My brother was telling me, nope, still a blue screen. So it's clear this computer somehow escaped and no one realized it had to be fixed as well. Huh.
They said 5 restarts, it should work. But now we're on 25.
Oh, yeah. No, I've restarted it so many times. And I did on Thursday night as well until finally we turned it off because it was just flashing through the blue screens and then their cycle and then back to the blue screens. So, yeah, good morning, engineering department. It's a Monday. Help. No, I suppose we can get along without this one. We don't need it like we did some of the other machines that were stuck on Thursday night and Friday morning. And I know a lot of media companies around the country and around the globe were impacted. Ours, thankfully, were relatively minor. We were still on the air. As we found out from so many of you who reached out to us, great to hear from a lot of you all over the country, north of the border, at A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on what is a Monday morning, mid-July, if you can believe it. We are post All-Star break in Major League Baseball, which means the next big thing will be the trade deadline. We talked about it earlier. In the National League specifically, all but two teams, and then the division leaders. So take 5 teams out of the mix, at least as it currently stands. The Phillies and Dodgers have fairly sizable leads already in their divisions. What else is new? Feels like that's been a refrain for the past several seasons. Phillies. Yes, Phillies have 8-game lead over the Braves. The Braves keep cycling through a bunch of injuries, which are kind of stinks. Max Fried, now Ozzie Albies. And the Dodgers have an 8-game lead over the next 2 teams in the NL West. But you take the 3 division leaders out, and then 2 other just horrible teams in the National League, and every other club is right now within 4 games of the wild cards. That's the National League right now. It's not quite as dramatic in the American League, but there still are a half dozen teams that are within striking distance for a wild card, which means that you would likely, you know what happens when you assume, but it means likely that you'll see more activity at the trade deadline, or at least inquiries about potential moves as teams try to get a leg up and are swapping guys, maybe outgoing or expiring contracts, that kind of thing. So yeah, we'll see what happens moving forward, but the trade deadline is now inside of 10 days away. Also, the opening ceremonies for the Olympics are coming up at the end of this week, so that's happening too. We had the final major of the golf season and another captured title for an American. It's kind of cool. First time since the early 80s that all four golf majors in a single year are held by Americans. And of course, Xander Schauffele has two of them. We'll hear from him a little bit later. And Justin Rose as well. Pretty disappointed about being so close and yet not able to close out the deal. It's a lot of guys that were within a stroke or two strokes of the leader to start the final round on Sunday. So I hope that you enjoyed the Open Championship at Royal Troon in Scotland. And for some reason, John Harbaugh is doing bed checks at training camp. To me, that is astounding. Not just because these are professional athletes and they have to abide by curfew and bed checks. As long as you're doing your job, I wouldn't think in July it matters whether or not. Maybe it's because of the rookies. I don't know, but that seems extraordinary to me. I just can't imagine going up to, and now Lamar was excused because he was ill yesterday, but I can't imagine going up to Lamar's room, wherever he happens to be. They're not staying in dorms like they used to, and doing a bed check on Lamar Jackson. He's the reigning NFL MVP, and you're doing a bed check?
It's going to be like a little kid in their bedroom with like their phone hiding under the blanket with the light. So they can't be caught by the parents when they're staying up way too late.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see Harbaugh being like, hey, are you asleep in there? There's knocking on the door.
Right.
Like, he's not going to walk in, of course.
No. Oh, gosh. I mean, that kind of thing could be criminal these days. You can't be doing that. So I don't really understand the point of bed checks. You were saying something about putting tape over the door. That to me feels like overnight sleep camp for junior high school kids or for high schoolers that might sneak out.
It might work to some extent.
But why? Who cares? Why do you need a bed check?
I don't know. Maybe they have to follow like a certain training schedule or sleep this way, work out this time.
That's crazy. By the way, I was watching MLB Network and they were going through some of the Hall of Fame highlights and all of a sudden it turned to Channel 4 in New York City.
Somebody's
been playing with the TVs again. No respect. We get no respect. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Todd Helton now has so much respect because of his Hall of Fame induction and the fact that he represents the Colorado Rockies.
I would like to start by thanking everyone with the National Baseball Hall of Fame, from Jane Forbes Clark to Josh Rawich to John and Whitney. You have been beyond gracious to me and my family. I owe this incredible honor to many. You don't get to play Major League Baseball or dream of getting into the Hall of Fame without people who support you, sacrifice for you, and push you to be the best version of yourself. My dad passed in 2015. This would have meant as much, if not more, to him than it does me. When I was young, my dad taught me how to swing a bat and how to pitch a ball. But most importantly, beyond the relentless coaching, my dad made me believe I could stand up here today. My dad passed in 2015. This would have meant as much, if not more, to him than it does me. When I was young, my dad taught me how to swing a bat and how to pitch a ball. But most importantly, beyond the relentless coaching, my dad made me believe I could stand up here today.
He wanted to talk about his dad twice. Todd Helton, pretty emotional. And one of the things I love about this particular Hall of Fame induction is that two of the guys who were included and welcomed into Cooperstown played for just one team. That's pretty rare now. Joe Mauer, a lifelong twin, and Todd Helton, one team. He only ever wore the Colorado Rockies colors. Pretty incredible. Now, that doesn't mean Jim Leland's Hall of Fame induction is any less impressive. He's a World Series champion as a manager. If you can win a World Series with the Marlins, you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. With the Tigers, twice in the World Series. Remember, those were the days of Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer when they were kind of the 1-2 punch. So he had an incredible staff. In fact, one of the years that they went to the World Series, Justin won both Cy Young and MVP, but then they lost in the Fall Classic. So he was with the Tigers, started his career with the Pirates. So, of course, they had him there for 11 seasons. Amazing. I just love that his career started in Pittsburgh because that really represents who he is as a manager. More blue-collar, gritty, really reflects, in my opinion, the spirit of Pittsburgh. And then Colorado, one season. So, yeah, there's no shame in being in a bunch of different places, especially as a manager. But it's just neat that we had two guys who both played for just one team their entire careers. Todd Helton also told a really funny story about his superstitions and how they cost him some money.
Some people have told me that my superstitions early in my career were a bit excessive. Same food, same route to field, same routine. It made sense to no one but me. I remember getting a speeding ticket on the way to the field one day in Colorado Springs. I got three hits that day. So, I took the same route, went the same speed, and the next day, the same officer gave me another ticket. I didn't care. I got three hits that day as well. I asked the officer to meet me the third day, and he indulged me.
That's tremendous. Maybe, just maybe it has to do with the fact that he wielded quite the bat and not so much about the superstitions. But for anybody who's ever worked or played with or just knows someone, maybe it's you who have really strict superstitions. I suppose you can identify with Todd Helton. So yeah, pretty cool. Todd Helton, Joe Mauer, Rockies, Twins, Adrian Beltre, who, goodness, spent 21 years in Major League Baseball. He is from the Dominican Republic. And man, what a bat. While we're talking about bats, more than 3,100 hits while he was in the majors, and also a bunch of gold gloves at third base. So there's a lot to like about this particular class, and very colorful, emotional, as it always is, and a neat celebration at Cooperstown. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I suppose after Aaron Boone got ejected for the fifth time this season, he had plenty of time on his hands in the clubhouse to go back and watch the Hall of Fame inductions if he didn't see them live. Yeah, the Yankees end up losing again, this time to the Tampa Bay Rays. And the numbers, they're arresting. They grab your attention. After starting out 50-22, so the Yankees got to 50 wins. They started out 50-22. Since then, have had an abysmal month and a half, a little more than a month. They've been 9-20 since that start. And while they're still near the top of the American League East, you can understand why Aaron Boone is cranky, constantly answering questions about the team. And certainly the pitching has been the major mess, right? So their ERA is, over this stretch, going back now a month, the worst in Major League Baseball. Started out the first chunk of the season the best in baseball, and now the worst in baseball. Not quite an ERA of 7, but getting perilously close. So yeah, you can understand why he gets himself tossed out of games sometimes, and what the players are feeling like.
I think there's certain guys, you know, pressing a little bit, but I mean, you know, you break it down, you go individually down that lineup, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys putting together real quality at bats, big league at bats. So, you know, sometimes that's baseball, but obviously this is about a month where we've struggled winning ball games, and we got to find a way right now.
Aaron Judge did have his 35th home run. Shohei Ohtani had his 30th. It was a monster shot. I mean, a moonshot. Well, it actually didn't go that high, but it was a blast. And so it's recorded at 473 feet, which is I don't even know how you describe that, astronomical, just rare. It's not a lot of syllables, but 473 feet as the Dodgers were hosting the Red Sox to wrap up the weekend. Anyway, Aaron Judge won Soto. They're the guys right now. And Soto's been inconsistent at times. Aaron Judge has been the bright spot for that offense. But really, you're asking the offense to do more than its share because of the fact that the pitching staff, the starting rotation specifically, is so bad. So I kind of feel like it's unfair, the expectations of the offense, when the pitching staff is awful to start. And talk about putting pressure on an offense when you can't count on your rotation to hold the opposing team to fewer than four or five runs, sometimes more than that. But he keeps hitting. He's on pace for another record-breaking season. And right now, they really do need that lineup to produce.
No way. You know, I know I got good guys behind me that... You know, it's baseball. You're going to go through some ups and downs. Things aren't going to click for a little bit, but, you know, there's months where other guys are going to carry this team. There's months where I got to pick it up and carry the team. And, you know, it's all part of it. But, you know, I can't think about anything besides what I got to do.
Randy Rosarena, he had a couple of home runs over the weekend series. And, yeah, Yankees still trying to find their stride again. But 9-20 over the last month after that torrid start. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're back up and running in the Major League Baseball season. As we mentioned, Olympics opening ceremonies began this weekend. Also, I would say it was the triumph of Xander Schauffele, but also really what he called a dream come true. It could end up being the summer of Xander, could it not? A pair of major wins, and now he's off to France to defend his gold medal in the Olympics. He's the man of the moment in golf, to be sure, and maybe what golf needs. I think golf has kind of been in this no man's land. There isn't really one star. Rory McIlroy gets people to show up to their TV sets to watch when he's in contention. So the U.S. Open got a lot of attention, and then unfortunately for Rory, he misfired on a couple of really short putts and had another painful collapse at the end of a major. So he still does attract a lot of attention. I mean, Tiger right now is really only good for your Thursday and Friday at the majors and pretty much every tournament that he enters. But what about Xander Schauffele? He's got a great personality, a fun game. He's 30 years old. He's an American. He is going to be part of the Olympic team. Also could be part of Ryder Cup teams moving forward. I mean, there's a lot to like about this guy. He's a great speaker. He's relatively charismatic. I think he could be what golf needs. Golf needs a superstar. That's what it needs. Someone to kind of step into that void. Not that we'll ever have another Tiger Woods, maybe not this generation or the next, but someone who's charismatic and people want to follow. Scottie Scheffler's had an incredible 2024, but I dare say more people know him from getting arrested in Louisville than they do for what he's, or than they know him for what he's done on the golf course this year, which maybe says more about the fans than it does about Scottie. But yeah, a lot for, I mean, really it's the type of summer where you have a lot to choose from. There's something for everyone, as I say. So I try to coach the younger dudes who work in the newsroom, never, ever, ever say there's nothing going on, because that's not true. The only reason you would ever say that is because you're not looking hard enough, or maybe you're only paying attention to social media headlines. And be careful. Sometimes those aren't even true. Most of the time, those aren't even true. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Out of Schauffele. He will have to just sit and wait for a little bit.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Xander Schauffele walked off the 18th green at Royal Troon in Scotland and knew he had a healthy lead. Now, he didn't know for sure at that moment that there would be no one who could catch him. I think there's one other golfer who had a shot, had to make a birdie putt, and then eagle the following hole, which would have been, well, nothing short of a miracle. But Xander was pretty confident in the way he finished, and wow, what a final round for him. He won the PGA Championship earlier in the year, so going back to the late spring, and then captured his second major win of 2024 at the Open Championship. And to do it, he goes bogey-free, two pars to start, and then ends up with a couple of birdies on the front nine. But it was the back nine that really turned things around. Four birdies for him on the back nine, a 65, a scorching 65 in a final round of a major. So he's turning into quite the closer. Talk about rising to the occasion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, even though he wasn't the last golfer or even the last group on the 18th, they were celebrating him as though he were already champion.
That walk up 18 truly is the coolest. With the yellow leaderboards and the fans and the standing ovation, it really is the coolest, one of the coolest feelings I've ever had in my life. I got chills walking down and quickly had to zap myself back into focus because the tournament wasn't over yet.
He actually stopped and waited for his caddy, which was kind of neat. On Fox, they kept talking about, not Fox, sorry, NBC, they kept talking about the fact that he and his caddy were real close. They were best friends. A lot of times the caddy will hang back and will allow his golfer to walk up without him and feel the affection and the excitement of the crowd. How many times in your life, if you're not Tiger Woods, do you ever get the opportunity to do that? Well, in his case, he waited for his caddy, actually stopped in the middle of the fairway and waited for his caddy so they could walk up together, which was pretty sweet. But in addition to having one of his best friends on his bag, he also had his family waiting just off the 18th.
In the end, it makes it feel like it's all worth it. So, my wife's here, you know, both my parents, my brother and my uncle. So sort of, the, you know, my day ones, as I would say, they were all here to, they haven't enjoyed it with me yet, but you know, tonight will be awesome.
Now, Ryan, you're cool, way cooler than anyone else here on the show. Would you say day ones or would you say ride or die?
Ride or die. Sounds cooler to me, but day ones works.
Day ones works. I've actually never used the phrase they're my day ones, but I have used ride or die. In fact, we've done an entire show here where we talked about our ride or dies in sports, meaning the team that you ride or die with no matter what, or the athlete. That was kind of fun. I wonder if we threw it out there as a show question. Who are your day ones in sports? I would say that there's probably a good chunk of the listening audience who'd have no idea what that meant.
No. It's also weird, though, because, like, day ones is more, like, since birth, you know?
Well, I mean, his parents have been with him since birth.
That's his day one.
And his brother and his uncle. Not his wife, necessarily, but...
She's, like, a day, I don't know, 2,000, 4,000.
Right. At 30 years old, he has certainly got the sports world by the tail. And, yeah, how about winning two majors? It took him... He might say forever. Not forever. He's 30. It took him a while for... For a few years, there was this narrative that Xander Schauffele had a great game, but it wasn't going to translate in the majors. And he wasn't yet in that category, best players never to win a major. That would have been too drastic because he's still relatively young. But yeah, he heard some of the talk and the whispers about his inability to win on the biggest stages.
I think winning the first one helped me a lot today on the back nine. I had some feeling of calmness come through and... It was very helpful on what has been one of the hardest back nines I've ever played in a tournament. So it's a dream come true to win two majors in 1 year. Is, you know, it took me forever just to win one, and to have two now is something else.
And now he heads to Paris, where he will defend his gold medal for Team USA. Yeah, he's the hottest golfer on the planet right now. With my apologies to Scottie Scheffler, who spent some of the tournament being frustrated. And you can't really expect any golfer to win every single tournament. It's just not how it works. The fields are too deep, and really you're battling the course, not the other people who are around you. And man, when you hear Xander say, I was calm and I felt the steadiness about me on a back nine, and then he goes out and has four birdies and no bogeys, well, it's even tougher for the rest of the field. And for Justin Rose, you got to feel for him. He's in his early 40s. There may not be many more opportunities like this, or at least tournaments where he gets this close. And so he could see what Xander was doing, had a few opportunities with some putts, just really emotional after the fact, especially considering that he's English and this was the Open Championship where he was within striking distance.
Two emotions. Gutted when I walked off the course, and it hit me hard because I was so strong out there today. You know, I kind of got off to the start I wanted. I really played the way I wanted today. I got off on the front foot. I played my way right into the tournament early doors, felt comfortable with it all day. Did a lot of the hard things really well on the golf course today. And yeah, just a critical moment, sort of midway through the back nine, just momentum-wise, obviously Xander got it going. I hit a couple of really good putts that didn't fall, and then suddenly, like, that little lead stretched, you know?
Yeah, so he was really honest about the fact that he felt gutted, and definitely the back nine is where everything shifted. And unless you were going to be able to keep up with Xander, you couldn't afford to leave putts out there. And so a lot of the attention on the back nine, where Xander performed extremely well, the rest of the field was averaging, I think, two over on the back nine.
Yeah, just a critical moment, sort of midway through the back nine, just momentum-wise, obviously Xander got it going. I hit a couple of really good putts that didn't fall. And then suddenly, like, that little lead stretched, you know. So, but in terms of how I played and the execution of, I would say, my emotions today, my mindset, I left it all out there and super proud of how I competed. And that's the deal I made to myself today, to kind of come off with no regrets, because obviously, yeah, I have a few more chances, of course, but you know that, well, this was a great opportunity today, and you want to walk off the golf course going, yeah, I didn't squander that. You know, I ran putts at the hole today. I felt like I had opportunities. I felt like I took a lot of them, but I felt super comfortable out there, which is, the fact I haven't really been in contention much this year. That gives me a lot of heart.
I love those types of stories. Remember when Phil Mickelson won a major at 50 years old, and recognizing that you have to catch lightning in a bottle, so to speak, and that those opportunities are going to be fewer and fewer. Well, here is Justin Rose into his early 40s. He actually himself had a 67 in the final round. Yeah, so he did have a couple of birdies on the back nine. He was under par on the back nine, just not as good as Xander. But yeah, he finishes tied for second along with Billy Horschel. Certainly made himself a lot of money, was able to walk off feeling like he had given it his best shot, and he talked about holding his head high, and yet still there's a sense of, I was so close, right? I was so close. Just two shots away, two birdie putts away, two missed opportunities away from potentially having that claret jug for my own. So I appreciate the emotion that he shares. I'm certain, even if it's not in golf, many of us understand being so close and yet still so far away and wondering how many more opportunities will come along for him. But still, congratulations to Xander Schauffele. So you've got Americans with Scottie Scheffler at the Masters, Xander at the PGA, and then Bryson DeChambeau at the U.S. Open just a couple weeks ago. Now Xander again. Has it happened since the early 80s that every single major is held currently by an American? So American sweep. Does that give us a preview of what's to come in France at the Olympics? Let's see. I'm rooting for Xander. Could be the summer of Xander. It's already the summer of Caitlin Clark, of course, even though she's not going to the Olympics. But she and Angel Reese team up at the WNBA All-Star Festivities. And I mean, Caitlin gets asked every questions about world hunger, everything about the economy. I mean, she answers questions that no other WNBA player ever gets asked. It's pretty amazing, and yet she handles it all with incredible class herself. Also, a near miss for Team USA on the men's side. And yeah, I can't believe the Olympics actually start out with their opening ceremonies this Friday. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Oh,
I think for myself, from my standpoint, is like, you know, this is a great opportunity to, you know, help prepare them for Paris. And, you know, I'm going to be supporting them and cheering them on. Like, I love the Olympics. I've loved the Olympics ever since I was a young kid. And they're going to be just fine. They're going to win gold and dominate.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Taking the high road, no doubt. People wanting her to be salty over playing against the Olympic team and then beating the Olympic team. And she was a part of it, not the only part of it. There was all kinds of great performances coming out of this WNBA All-Star Weekend. But the fact that she set a rookie record, 10 assists, and Angel Reese, another rookie, has a double-double because that's what she does. I mean, you can imagine that there could be a possibility there for a little bit of, hey, you left me off this roster. Now I'm going to show you. But also, you snubbed me. So now up yours, so to speak. And yet she did not say anything like that, nor did Angel. I actually thought it was really cool to hear what Angel Reese had to say about playing on the same team with Caitlin Clark when so often they're pitted against each other.
Yeah, it's so cool. I know when she gets the ball, I'm running to look for the ball because I know she's going to throw it. So she's been great to play with. I mean, the future, we're going to be playing with each other a lot. Hopefully in 4 years, we can be Olympians together. So.
How about that? It's not just Caitlin Clark who has designs and dreams of being an Olympian. Angel Reese as well. And man, that would be a lot of fun to see the two of them together on the same Olympic squad. And that's what Angel Reese told ESPN postgame. So she has a double-double. Caitlin had 10 assists. Arike Ogunbowale with a, was it 34 points? All-star game record. Actually, all of them in the second half. So that, for sure, a record, and she wins the MVP. I would say she has just as much beef, if not more so, than Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese, because she's been around the league. She's a decorated WNBA veteran, and she's also not on the team. So there's a lot to be said for having the extra motivation, which is what Caitlin has said in the past. And yeah, certainly the fact that they had a game in which they were actually playing defense, they were actually competing, they were fouling each other in the All-Star game. It shows you that this was no joke.
I think it, if anything, it shows how good this league is. Like, it shows how much talent is in this league and how you have to show up and prepare every single night, because there's a lot of players that aren't even here on All-Star Weekend that can, you know, be here and be in these moments too. It just shows the amount of talent that we have. And there's even so much more talent that's not even in our league, because there's only 12 teams. There's less than 144 spots. So, you know, they could have picked any combination of 12 players and probably been really, really successful.
Again, handling the questions that she gets, and I don't even think she prepares the answers, probably has plenty of time to practice because she gets them over and over, but is constantly raving about the talent in the league and the depth that they've got and the fact that this Olympic team is going to compete. It's going to win. It's terrific. And she's right. There are only a dozen teams. That means two things. Number one, she sees the same defense over and over and over again, which means she and other players will get more adjusted and know the best ways to outsmart or outwit or get a little crafty against the defenses, but also that it's a highly competitive league. And so there are a lot of players in the WNBA that did not get invited to be on the Olympic team and feel that slight themselves. Although the media, the fans, the newfound Caitlin Clark army taking up her defense and feeling slighted on her behalf. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At A-Law Radio is where you can find us. I gave my Twisters movie review earlier in the show. I guess it was last hour as I went to see the new one. Even though I grew up with the original, I like the new one. It's not as though they rewrote history or anything. It's a movie that's entertaining. The acting is good. The characters have good chemistry. It's fun. It's got a couple, well, it's got a bunch of tornadoes that are breathtaking, especially in IMAX. Really enjoyed that part. Bit of an IMAX shill these days. Now I like to see all the action movies in IMAX if I have the possibility. But also, there was a bit of a, I wouldn't call it a twist necessarily, but a moment that sets up the main actress's story toward the beginning that yeah, it really does set a tone. That's all I'm going to say. I can't give spoilers because the movie just came out. But my movie review is there on both Twix and Facebook if you want to find it. So we're glad to connect with you. And thank you to so many of you who sent us messages letting us know how and when and where you were listening, going back to our final show of last week, because we did have the CrowdStrike / Microsoft mess to deal with here. I think it probably impacted 80% of our computers. Not all of them, because Ryan walked in the door completely oblivious, sat down with one of the two computers that was working, and lo and behold, had no clue that anything was wrong. Didn't see the engineer scurrying around, Justin smiling like it was the best day of his life, like it was his Olympics as an engineer.
No, I'm just saying, I got in. I think he was helping you already, so I didn't see him, but I got lucky.
You got lucky. Better to be lucky than good. Do you actually believe that?
It's a little bit of both. Luck and goodness.
So what? And goodness. So what if I tell you I don't believe in luck? I don't think anything's random. Nope. I think everything happens for a reason. I don't believe in luck.
I can see it.
Yeah. So also, when people say good luck, for instance, when I'm facing a big show or I'm I don't know, teaching a class, something along those lines, and someone says good luck, well, I hope luck has nothing to do with it, especially when you're talking about the arena where I'm supposed to be an expert. It's like athletes. You tell them good luck. I don't think all of them would believe in luck. They would. Many of them would say that they manufacture their own luck.
It's like a best wishes type of thing where it's like, do good.
Do good. Crush it.
Yeah.
Your generation and... So millennials and Gen Z, you're Gen Z, right? Millennials and Gen Z, I feel like you guys have nicknames for everything or the types of phrases that would be much more impressive than do good.
Be better is another one.
Be better. I'm trying to think, who was I talking to? Oh gosh, my nieces, because I tease them all the time about how I host a radio show and I'm about as uncool as you could possibly get, and that sometimes I say things that would embarrass them, that I tell them and they'll roll their eyes at me and such. Anyway, they were coming up with they were trying to share with me new phrases that young people say these days because they're in their mid-20s, and if I can remember a couple of them, I'll bring them back. Most of the time I was thinking, first of all, if I tried to say that, nobody would have any idea what I was talking about. And second of all, it would sound like a total idiot. So no, it's best that I don't try to regurgitate super hip and super cool phrases. They don't belong. They don't belong here.
My favorite one is lock in.
Lock in?
Mm-hmm.
That one I like. I don't think that's so...
Like locked in?
Yes.
Lock, yes. Like, well, focus.
I'm pretty sure that Steph Curry says that a bunch. He'll say lock in Dub Nation or lock in Dubs, and maybe he doesn't anymore, but he used to. I'd have to see how many years it's been since he stopped doing this, because I don't think he does it anymore. But he used to tweet before every single game, time to lock in Dub Nation. Let's go lock in. So he would use that a lot. I feel like he's too old for that now. Just the tweeting before every game. He's got three kids. He's got a lot going on. What did Tom Brady say to us before his last season? Remember, he was meeting the media and he'd taken off, was it 10 days right in the middle of training camp? I mean, talk about a scandal. Aaron Rodgers takes off for the first mandatory OTA and goes to Egypt. And people forgot that Tom Brady took off 10 days right in the middle of training camp once. And people thought he was on vacation, too. I don't know if it was true. Maybe at the time he was trying to save his marriage. But, yeah, remember he took off. And then he returns from training camp and he says to the media, I'm 45. I got a lot of bleep going on, man. Remember that?
I do. Yeah. It probably was the divorce.
Yeah. In retrospect, speaking of training camps, I'm sure John Harbaugh had a lot of cool things to say about football-related activities, but this caught my ear when he was talking about the Ravens signing longtime Bears safety Eddie Jackson.
I remember him running to the ball for Alabama, you know, when we were looking at the draft and having all these good years in Chicago, playing against him. Now to have him here, see, I happened to be at the hotel last night doing bed check when he came in, on his flight. And
bed check.
I was like, oh, you're taller than I remember. You know, it's like, I just saw him 3 days ago. So he's ready to go. Big smile on his face. Very excited.
Bed check. Okay. First of all, you're the head coach. You've got a staff of probably 30, a bunch of assistant coaches. You've got interns, especially in summer. They've got interns. You've got other staff members. Couldn't one of them be doing bed checks? But also, bed checks? This is not junior high sleepover camp in the middle of the summer. This is NFL training camp. It's July. They barely get into pads at all during the heat of the summer. And could you imagine knocking on Lamar's door and saying, yo, MVP, you in there? Lights out, bud. It's past curfew. Could you imagine?
Maybe bed check is just seeing if they're in the hotel, wherever they're staying. He doesn't have to knock on the doors.
You just have to text from outside.
Yeah.
Maybe they have secret knocks, though. You never know. He and Lamar Jackson. Coming up the rest of the week, actually, we'll hear from a bunch of players and coaches because all the veterans will be reported within days. Ravens, though, have both their veterans and their rookies. So we're off and running. Another week in July. I'm not doing bed checks ever. Ew. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Boom!